I've always rejoiced over people who have made a false profession and got saved. Always. Amen. So let's stand for the reading of God's word. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. And let's pray. Father, help us now as we look at this subject. And Father, we don't want to have worldliness in our lives. We don't want to have worldliness in our families. We want godliness. And I pray this speak to all of our hearts. Help us respond according to your will. Help us do your will. And I pray the change that had to be made personally and then collectively would be done. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 15, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is of the Father, but is not of the world. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, the Apostle John is the author of this book. He's known as the beloved disciple, and he authored five books in the New Testament. He authored the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and then the book of the Revelation. And I know I'm a pain in the neck, but it's not Revelations. It's Revelation. Amen? You all have that? Amen. All right. Well, don't say Revelations. It's Revelation. All right? So that's a pet peeve of mine. So anyway, the first would be the gospel, which deals with the salvation of our soul. The Bible says in John 20, verse 21, these things have I written that. I'm sorry. Let me turn there real quick. All right. So John chapter 20 and verse 21, the Bible says, that's not what I'm looking for. Oh, 21 is what it is. Chapter 21 and verse, does anyone know what I'm looking for? John 20, 31. You know, John, if you're right, you're going to win a prize. That's wrong. Notice. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So that's the gospel of John. John wrote in such a way that he wanted you and I to have eternal life. He wanted us to know the Son. To know the Son is to know life. And John repeats it not only in 1 John chapter 5, but in other verses of the Bible. So the five books would be categorized by the first. The gospel deals with our salvation, the past. The three epistles, which deal with the subject of sanctification, which is maturing in Christ, the Christian walk, our Christian life, become like Jesus. And the final book of the Revelation, which speaks of our futures being with Christ. So, this is a great outline of the five books. And our text speaks of worldliness. Let me say that worldliness is not acceptable for Christians. Now, that doesn't mean that we, after we get saved, there isn't some carnality or worldliness that we have to work out in our salvation. But, I mean, that's understood. But we can be carnal. It's not right, but we can be. And God's trying to work that out of our lives since salvation, all right? But there's nowhere in the scriptures that God approves of worldliness. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not that they don't love God, the Father's love is not in them. So the devotion is not to God the Father, but it's going to be the world. Now, let me say this, John is not speaking here what the world calls nature. The outdoors, trees, flowers, mountains, valleys, hills, lakes, rivers, oceans. God's creation is beautiful, amen? And John's not talking about that. John was not speaking about the physical world, although we appreciate the creation of God. Second of all, the Bible is not referring to humanity. Although the Lord loves mankind so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that is not what John is speaking about. So what it is the world John is referring to is the system which is under the control of the devil and opposes the Lord. I want to repeat that. It is referring to the system which is under the control of the devil and opposes the Lord. So we often refer to the world when we are referring to a system. For example, the sportscast would say, now from the world of sports. Well, we know it's not a different world. It's the system of sports. You know, it could be anything. In the political world, it's the systems or the order of things. So the term world speaks very plainly of this world system. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice with me verse 4. So the Bible says in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So those who are lost today, who have never been saved, you've been blinded by the devil to the world system. And that's important to understand. And then notice John chapter 12, John 12, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and then notice verse 31. And again, the Bible is speaking here in verse 31 of John. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, the prince of this world. And so that's important for us to differentiate between the world, the creation, and the system of the world. So there's nothing wrong with God's creation. We ought to enjoy it. We ought to love it. But the world system is not what we want to be part of. Now, this is what the Bible says about the true convert of God in, notice, chapter 15 and verse 9. Let's go back to John, please. John chapter 15 and notice verse 9. And notice the Bible says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, continue in my love. So the world or the world system is the enemy of God. It's not acceptable to God. God doesn't look upon it with pleased into his sight. It's against God. And remember this, the world is, as the system of the world is an antagonistic of God's children. It's against God's children. It's something that is opposed to us. And so when there's a time that we're acting carnal or fleshly, it's unacceptable to God. We're not in the spirit. And the idea is not to be in the spirit, be in the flesh, be in the spirit. The idea is we're to be in the spirit, the Bible says. God commands us in Romans chapter 8, you're not in the flesh but in the spirit, saith the Lord. So the idea is for us to be in the spirit at all times. That's so important, beloved. So the idea of being in the flesh is really not acceptable to God. So we live in the world, we work in the world, we live in houses that are in the world, but being saved does not take us out of the world, but the change in our relationship with the world system. This is so important. Our change, because we're not in the flesh but in the spirit, is not to be accepted by the world. Now think about this. The Bible says in Galatians 1 verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. Did he not? All right, that we might that he might deliver us from this present evil world. See, the world system is unacceptable to God. He wants to deliver us from this present evil world. Now, I want to say this. I know I said it before, but I want to say it again, that being a worldly is not acceptable to God. And I'll be honest with you, you really don't find it in the Bible. Oh, I'm a worldly Christian. Let me rephrase that for you. I'm not a Christian. Amen? If you're constantly being affected by the world system, drawn to the world, living in the world, living a double life, you're not saved. Now, again, I want to be patient. New converts, they have to grow in the Lord. They have to work out their salvation. But I'm speaking about if you're saved, you're still drawn to the world, living in the world. you're not a convert of Christ. There's a change that takes place because of salvation. Now, worldliness is anything that keeps us from loving the Lord. Anything. It is anything that keeps us from doing God's will for our lives. Worldliness is having a temporal mindset instead of living with eternity in mind. So as a new convert, as an old convert, you're to live with eternity in mind. Is this pleasing to the Lord? Is this God's will? Does God want me to do this? Does God want me to practice this? Does God want me to live this way? So worldliness is having a temporal mindset. In James 4:4, the Bible says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" It's against God. If you're a friend of the world, you're against God. "Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Now, beloved, that's not a saved person. Saved people are not the enemies of God. They're not at enmity with God. That's where we were before we are saved. Man, because of sin, is at enmity with God. That's the way it is for a lost person. But it's not for the saved. So God goes on and says here in Romans 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." So there is a working out. There's a working out of our salvation. There's a transformation. Where does the transformation come? It comes because of salvation. It comes from being in the Word of God, renewing your mind. And so you say, "Preacher, you know, I'm struggling with this." Well, the proof of your salvation is having victory over it. And what you need to do is get in the Word. Amen? You got to get in the book. Why? Because this is the mindset of Christ. This is the right mindset to have. Amen. This is a way to live. It helps you to think right. Now, let's go back to Philippians 4, if you could. Philippians chapter 4. And this is so important, beloved, that people take heed to Philippians 4. And notice, if you would, verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What's going to keep our hearts and minds through Christ? Peace of God. So that tells we're not to be worry warts. We're not to be fretting. We're not to be worrying. You need to turn it over to God. Leave it with God. So I don't know what's going to happen. God does. I was singing this song during a break. I'm not promoting it, but the song should sound like, "Everything's all right in my Father's house." That's a song that should be in our hearts. Everything's all right. In heaven, everything's all right. God has control of everything. We're not to be worrying. Notice verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." You say, "Oh, yeah, priest, but that's only for church." Day in, day out. How we're to be thinking. How do we be living. How we're to react to good news or bad news. Amen. Amen. Then notice verse 9. "These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me." Now notice this big word. Do. Do. Practice. Live this way. Obey. And the God of peace shall be with you. How important that is. Now, if you don't have the peace with God, you're not going to have the peace of God. All right? And they're two different things. Peace with God is reconciliation. Making things right with the Lord. Turning to God. Getting right with God. And then the next one is peace of God, is the peace that God gives us through salvation. You say, "Well, I'm not in peace." I said, get right with God. I mean that as a saved person. You turn your eyes upon Jesus. Get your hearts right with God. The vertical is so important. So notice, if you would, John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. And then notice James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God. And the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, I have to tell you this. I'm going to be very plain with you today, all right? I don't want you to leave here and say, what did he say? I'm going to be very plain. I know that there's some young people, single people, who have tasted the world. And you've been made partaker of it. You've experienced it. You know what? You haven't been raised the way your parents wanted you to be. You're tainted. That's not the way God wants you to be. So what is the world? What does the world do? And notice verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, this speaks of the cravings, the longings of the body. It means the things the world wants you to do to sin against the Lord. It's abuse in the body, smoking, drinking, overeating, drug use. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. See, whatever we do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And this is the mindset that has to be developed. Say, you know, sometimes preachers, I don't think of that verse. Well, you need to. You ought to memorize that verse. Everyone should. Whatsoever you do in word or deed. Is smoking going to help you? Is taking drugs going to help you? Overeating going to help you? You know, and fornication is just as bad. God says flee fornication. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6 says, know ye not that the unrighteous are not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters. This is the lust of the flesh. And we're not to be involved with these sins. We're to be separate. So it's very important, beloved, that we have the right mindset. We're thinking right. So the second thing is the lust of the eyes. And this is the lust that encompasses all the cravings of the mind. The mind is a gate to one's thoughts and imaginations. The ear are the gates of one's thoughts and their lust. So what are you listening to? What are you thinking on? And the Christian, what he does is he wants to deny himself. I'm not going that route. I may have. I used to be. I'm not going this route. You deny yourself. That's part of the gospel. Deny yourself. So we've got to be careful, beloved, what we allow through the eye gate with TVs, movies, Netflix, I can't even say it, and YouTube. We must be careful what we listen to. I can tell you this, beloved, and this is a fact, that there was no such thing as rap music until after the rock music. But rock music is something that's going to harden your heart. It's going to allow you to think about not God, but fun and games. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Now, I realize that there's good music in the world that's not Christian. I understand that. But I'm talking about the things that cause you to be lustful, to think wrong, you know, to have the mindset that, let's, you know, I just want to be free and easy. What was that? Free and easy. So, and same with, you know, what you allow through your eye gate. And then rap music is, it's hideous. It affects you. That you know this to be true. I don't know. I don't know the stars. I don't know what they are. I don't know the songs. But I know this much. Rap music disrespects women. Rap music is evil. It gives a false view of God. It's against God. It's part of the world system. And I could tell when people have been listening to the wrong music. You see the countenance. You know, you say to your parents, oh, not me. Oh, who are you kidding? Now, we may have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. Right? That's an old one. So this is important, beloved. Why? Your sin will be revealed. Be sure your sin will find you out. So what do you want me to do? Don't listen to it. Don't watch it. So we must be discriminating when we watch and what we listen to. You know this, garbage in, garbage out. And you know that what children want, you know what children are watching, just look at the countenance. Now, do you know what your children listen to? Now, I have to tell you, I think a lot of our families are clueless about what their children are doing. I know you don't want this. I know you want to have a close-knit family. But I think a lot of our kids are watching the wrong things. Involved with the wrong things. I'm talking about the single, I'm talking about the teenagers. You want to be careful, beloved. Be careful. You know, I know people watch Disney. Now, I have to tell you something. I don't know the name of the shows and so on, but I know this much. It's not right. Disney today is not Annette Funicello with the Mouseketeers. It's not that. They're talking about immorality and so on. And I know some of our kids watch that. Now, I'm telling you, the idea is you don't fear God. Remember Joseph said about Potiphar's wife? He said, how can I do this great wickedness? He didn't want to have any part in it. So, it's so important to know what your children are watching. Now, I have to tell you, you don't know. Some of you have TVs in all the rooms. And you yell up there, are you watching something good? Yes! Okay. Hello? Anyone home? No? Look, I'm not saying you can't trust your child. But the other thing is, you can't trust your child. Why are you putting things before them that the average man didn't have to deal with? So they have the phones. I tell you right now, you young people can run circles around me. I still be on, you know, trying to text something, you'd be around me texting, and you know how to get in, you know how to get out, you know how to cover it up, you know how to hide it. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't have your kids be babysat by a bunch of snakes, would you? Now, these are poison snakes. Stay away from them. Then the snakes aren't going to stay away from them. They're going to take a bite. And it could kill them. Do you know if your children look at pornography? Oh, not my son, not my daughter. Who are you kidding? And they may not, but I'm telling you, I wouldn't put that in front of them. The temptation's too real. You should laugh at kids when they come to school with their earbuds on. What are you listening to, Patch the Pirate? And why are you bouncing it up and down like that? All the other kids are going to die and go to hell. You've been raised to be better than that and to reach the other children with the gospel. But you're going just like the world. And you know who I blame? I blame you, the parents. I put it at your door. You're so busy with the world. What do you do at night when the whole family's in? You're all on your phones. Pinterest, stupidity. Oh, look at this funny video. You know, the cat gets swallowed by an elephant or whatever. I mean, yeah. How much would your life be better if you didn't watch that? So how important it is to know. But you put the world right in their hands. There are kids that have cell phones at the age of 8. Maybe not in our church, but 8 years old? Well, it's a new age. Right. The new age. Doesn't mean I'm going to succumb to it. Amen. And you say, well, what am I going to do? Take the phone away from your daughter, from your son. And watch what happened with the idolaters. They fall apart. That's my God. And don't tell me they're not going to do that. It's for my safety. Then why are you looking at all this other stuff? How many want to go home right now? Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. You know, family time is sitting around looking at the phones. Now, I understand. I'm very happy. Ashley has a phone. She can call us, let us know where she is, what's going on. I understand all that. How she rats out James every so often, you know, and so on. So those things are good. But I want to tell you, honestly, that's fine. But that's not our problem. Problem is the wrong music. The problem is the world. And it's important, beloved. Now, don't go home today and say, you don't do that, do you? No. Oh, I took care of that preacher was wrong. It's not our family. Don't be so foolish. I don't approve it. I'm 21 years old. All right, where are you living? How much is your rent? What do you pay for food? What about the insurance on your car? Put your thinking caps on, kids. And why would your parents do this? Because they're mean? Because they don't love you? They're trying to spare your life. Amen. So the idea is, you know, a lot of your minds are so glutted with the world that when you come to the house of God, I'm not going to get through. The word of God's not going to get through. Why? You have idols in your life. You have things that you're worshiping, things you're involved with. I mean, you really need that text during the 11 o'clock preaching? What are you doing? You can't shut your phone off. You're addicted to it. It's become a god to you. You get so happy when the ding. Someone texts me. But if it wasn't on, you wouldn't hear it. Well, everyone has a cell phone, so. That's not the issue. It's unsupervision. It's the access to the TV, the computers. You get mom and dad, you allow your son, your daughter to get on the computer and the TV when you're not home? You know where our computer was? It was right in the kitchen. And that's a place where grass was found most times. And why? Because we didn't want them in their rooms with it. They weren't going to go in the room and get on the computer. Why? Because of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You're going to act like the world. Remember the world, that system which is presently controlled by the devil and is opposed to God. So think about this, if you would. We're going to be done in a few minutes. Our homes are not up to the standards of the Scriptures. Young girls are learning to be independent, unsubmissive, to make your own way, to be independent of authority. So, well, you know, it's a different world, preacher, but the biblical principles are the same. Doesn't matter if the world changes. Doesn't matter at all. It's wrong. Both Old and New Testament. God tells them exactly the way the young girls should be raised. The young boys should be raised. A lot of moms, and I'm not just here, but in our world, especially in America, you know, aren't home. They're out and about. They're doing yoga class. You should be home. I mean this. I don't apologize a bit. You should be home making dinner for those kids. You should be involved with their lives. You shouldn't be thrown to the wolves. Same with the boys. You know, you say, well, you know, I want to be able to trust my son. I want him to prove to me. You're throwing the world in his face. I can tell you this, beloved, and I know I'm a little bit older, but the Graff family, and they weren't Christian. They weren't. But one thing we like to do, we like to sit around and talk. And my parents made us. What's going on? What are you doing? At the Sunday table, we have my grandmother come over. Sometime we had company. And what do you know the kids were? They were all sitting there. We weren't talking a whole lot because the adults had the floor. But we were sitting there learning. It wasn't like, now listen to this, we're going to teach you something. No, it's just a conversation. That's so important, beloved. Kids don't communicate today. Why? They know how to text. They know how to Twitter. And all the other things. But when's the last time you just sat around the table and talked? Talked about the sermon. Oh, today's going to be a good one. You can talk all day long about this one, and this morning, and bitter, and then your husband love your wives, and what the wives were taught, and I mean, this is going to be a rare day, I'll tell you. But how important that is. And some of the young men and women living a double life. You don't know that? I know it. I don't live in your home. Some of the girls are living double lives. Some of the guys living double lives. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes. And they're on the phones. They're staying in touch with the lost, the world. Maybe they have a girlfriend, a boyfriend. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. I've been preaching for years. Are you ready to get married? No. You don't need a girlfriend. Simply, plain and simple. So, and then, you know, the other things I could bring up, privileges, rights. You live in a home, you don't have them, beloved. You really don't. Your parents should be making the decisions. I mean, what it's become is what it is this, the second running the asylum, that's what it is. The inmates are running the asylum. That's what it's become. Lots of times parents are all of a sudden, they get, you know, the 40s or 50s, and you know, and the kids are running roughshod over them. It's not the way you should be. You should be wiser and stronger. Now, the pride of life is a phrase to describe wanting to show yourself off, to impress others. So many teenagers, not all, what's the first thing they do? I want a fast car. The speed limit is 50 miles an hour. You go over that, you get a ticket. I mean, I want power. 55 miles an hour. Kids, you know, non compos mentis. I want to look good. I want a muscle shirt. Why? You want glory in your strength? I want a tight outfit. Why? What about modesty? See, the pride of life is me. Look at me. The conversation always turns around to me. That's wrong. To be for God's glory. And so, you know, the idea is it may be the clothes you wear, where you live. It may be your education, your intellect, how spiritual you are. This is the pride of life. And it would not be better, would it not be better to be a godly, Christ-like, good, faithful, kind, loving, holy? I mean, that's what God wants out of all of us. No, preacher, this is the time in my life I sow my wild oats. Who said that? Outside the world, which is the devil's kingdom and is against God. The devil worked from the beginning. Remember that when Eve came to think about the forbidden fruit, she said it was good for food, lust of the flesh, pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and able to make one wise, the pride of life. Who should be wise from Adam? See, the self, the flesh, this has been Satan's tactic. Devil, same temptation with the Lord while in the wilderness. And what did he do? He said, make these stones into bread. And of course, he said that after 40 days of fasting, lust of the flesh. Look at all the kingdom of the world, lust of the eyes. And then cast thyself down, said the Lord, the devil to the Son of God. That's the pride of life. And this is what the world has to offer. Nothing. If you know Christ, the world doesn't have an allurement to your heart and mind. Notice chapter 2 and verse 16, if you would. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I'll tell you another thing, young people and parents. It's important for you to be reading the Word of God. Why? Listen, you may not be saved right now. You ought to be, but you haven't repented. You ought to read the Word of God. It's going to keep your heart. It's going to keep your soul. You're not going to live in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Why do you wear what you wear? Why do you do what you do? Is it not for the glory of God? And then last of all, where in the world, where is the world going? Verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 13, the fashion of this world passed away. Nothing the world has to offer can satisfy your soul as much as Jesus. And the world's drinking, drugs, fashion of the world, the movies, the TV, the worldly entertainment, acting like the world, dressing like the world, thinking or living like the world, it's going to pass away. You know, you're just going to stand forever is your faith in Christ. What you do for God. What you do for God's glory. And nothing can last. Nothing satisfies but doing the will of God. And I have to tell you, I think I can speak for all those who are saved, even the new converts. What's more important to you right now? Is it living the way you used to live? No, see, I don't want that preacher doing God's will right now. See, the world has nothing to offer us. We think it does. Why? Because you're brainwashed. You're sitting there in front of entertainment, the TV, the movies, the music. Music makes you feel good. Amen. That's what life's all about, feeling good. Don't be so shallow. I mean that. Your kid's been raised better than that. Don't be shallow. So what lasts is doing the will of God for our lives. Verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want to sing that line if you come to the piano. You know that song? About doing the will of God. What is it? I decided to follow Jesus. Why don't we stand today? And what number is that? Anyone got a number? 3:16. Let's sing that song out for the glory of God. You need to respond. Don't worry about it. You come and pray.